Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome in to Send It In, presented by BetMGM right here on the BetQL Network. Great show on tap for today. A lot of college football conversation. We got one of the games in the year, Penn State and Ohio State, coming up on Saturday. Daniel Gallen going to join us here in moments to preview that one. We'll also look at some of the other marquee games on the college football slate. We got a couple of big games in the ACC this weekend, a couple big games in the SEC as well. Solid slate. We'll dive in to some best bets. We'll also start previewing week 9 in the NFL. A lot of spreads that I like right now, some totals that I like as well, so we will get into all of that. Lucy Burge going to join us later on the show for Bottle Making Money, talk some World Series with Lucy, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for, especially on Penn State and Ohio State, let us know. Write it in the chat, twitch.tv/BeckQL or YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered. Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Daniel Gallen joins us. Give him a follow on X at Daniel JT Gallen. Covers Penn State for Lions 24/7. And Daniel, obviously can't wait for this matchup on Saturday. It's going to be awesome. Let's start with the quarterback position. Obviously, big storyline out of that Wisconsin game was Drew Aller getting hurt. Prabula comes in, does a great job, leads Penn State to victory. Right now, all the reports looks like it's truly a game-time decision. Obviously, we'll see what happens through practice throughout the week. I know it's still early. It's only Tuesday. But as of right now, if you had a guess is what we maybe see, what do you think happens with Aller and Penn State on Saturday?
Yeah, I can definitely see Penn State running this right up until game time. The Big Ten mandates a availability report 2 hours before kickoff. I could see Aller being listed as questionable on that. I could see us finding out in the stadium when they put the starters up on the big board where they introduce themselves. I think that that's when we'll truly know who the starting quarterback is going to be for Penn State. But I could see it going either way. It is really early. It's Tuesday afternoon. On Wednesday evening, we'll get a look at practice. I assume Drew Aller will be out there. I think that James Franklin is going to take any advantage he can in terms of gamesmanship, making Ohio State prepare for both Prabula and Aller. But when we get to Saturday, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Drew Aller try to give it a go, but I also wouldn't be surprised if you see Bo Prabula out there getting the majority of the work.
Who do you think would be the better option in this game, Daniel? Because I think it's an interesting conversation, right? Prabula, on the one hand, obviously there's not much film on him.
I think the big key to this is Andy Kotelnicki and this Penn State offense. I think in his first year as offensive coordinator, Kotelnicki has really shown the ability and the confidence to mold the offense to the talent that he has around him. You know, there's no square peg into a round hole type situation. That if it is Prabula, the offense will be tailored to him. If it is Aller, the offense will be tailored to whatever he can do. And I think knowing that you have that from your offensive coordinator going into a big game like this should be reasons for confidence for Penn State fans, no matter who is back there. Now, in terms of the difference between each, I mean, Aller can make all the throws. Like, that arm is NFL level, like you said. He can zip it over the middle. He can get it to the sideline. He can throw from the far hash to the far sideline. Like, he can do it all. You know, Prabula impressed me in relief at Wisconsin. He zipped some passes over the middle. He's really made strides as a passer during his time at Penn State. And he also adds a little bit with the run game, too. You have to account for him as a runner, both in terms of that read option game with Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, but also in the pass game. If you're in man coverage and you have your back turned to the backfield, Prabula can take off and steal some yards on you and make some plays. So I think that no matter who Penn State has out there, the real key is Kotelniki and knowing that, you know, whoever's out there will be prepared and they will be doing things that will maximize their strengths and what they're able to do.
Daniel, I mean, anybody that follows college football obviously knows that Penn State and James Franklin, these are the kind of games that they just don't win. He's 1-9 in his career against Ohio State. So as somebody who has watched these games up close and personal for a number of years, what is it about this matchup that has given Penn State so much trouble in the past? And what is it going to take differently this time for Penn State to get over the hump and for Franklin to get his second win against the Buckeyes?
Yeah, I think when you look back on these matchups in the past, it's the talent level has really shown out and how Ohio State always has those one or two game breakers. Like, if you take Marvin Harrison Jr. out of last year's game in Columbus, you know, it was a close game to begin with. It's probably even closer. Like, it felt like Harrison was the difference there. And it seems like the Buckeyes always kind of have that type of player. I thought that coming into the year and honestly, coming into his career, I viewed Drew Aller as potentially one of those players. Like, that's what you want out of a five-star, a guy who can elevate you and help you win this type of game. But then you also have Nick Singleton, a former five-star who has really shown some juice over the course of his career and has shown he can be a home run hitter. I just think the big thing for Penn State is, in this game, is really staying within itself, avoiding getting into a hole early. We've seen Penn State erased a two-touchdown deficit at USC a couple weeks ago, but this Ohio State team is very different from those Trojans. So I think that if you're Penn State, you can't afford to get behind. You need to stick to your game plan, stick to what's working. And I just think it's going to come down to, you know, like the Jimmies and the Joes. You need some of these guys to break off a big play. You need Tyler Warren to make a game-changing play. Abdul Carter, Nick Singleton. These are the guys that you need to step up.
Do you think that this Penn State team is the best one that Franklin's had since he's been there? Or are you waiting to see what happens on Saturday before you determine just how good they are?
Yeah, I mean, I think so far things are trending in the right direction. You know, I think that you've got good players in good positions. You've liked what they've done in some of these games early on, taking care of business, overcoming adversity. They haven't really wilted when things have gone wrong. I think coming out of the Wisconsin game, there is a little bit of a sentiment within the fan base and within some of our conversations on the beat where it was like, you know, in the past, I'm not sure they win that game with the number of injuries, how things were kind of snowballing in terms of what was going wrong, but they really halted things, got their footing back under them and went. So I think that maybe you could say this is one of the like stronger teams that they've had in terms of overcoming adversity, but you know, James Franklin is, I think he's 28-5 over the past 2.5 years now. Four of those losses are to Michigan and Ohio State. So this is really how you're going to measure it.
No question. Buckeyes favored by 4 on Saturday. The total is 46.5. Daniel, what do you think happens? Who do you like on Saturday?
A couple weeks ago during Penn State's second bye week, we did a roundtable over on lines247.com and had to give bold predictions for the second half, and I went for it. My bold prediction was Penn State beats Ohio State. Of course, that was factoring in a healthy Drew Aller, and so I haven't locked in my pick quite yet, but I think even if Prabula does play, it's going to stay close. I think when you talk about that number at 4, I would like Penn State at +4. I think that this is going to be one of those games where it's going to be in the single digits. The way that both teams have played this year, I could definitely see it coming down to a field goal.
I like it. Man, can't wait. Going to be awesome. #3, Penn State versus #4, Ohio State on Saturday in Happy Valleys. Daniel Gallen joining us here on Send It In. Give a follow on X at Daniel JT Gallen. Does a great job covering Penn State for Lions247.com. Daniel, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game Saturday. Hope to catch up again with you soon.
Appreciate it, PJ.
You got it. Absolutely. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling. Talk about some of these other games on the college football slate. As I mentioned, we got some good ones in the Big Ten, the SEC this weekend. We just heard Daniel's thoughts. A lot of great stuff there on the matchup between Penn State and Ohio State. Buckeyes favored by 4. The total is 46.5. Again, low total like this. Two good defensive teams. We'll see what Penn State decides to do at quarterback. I think personally, though, Ohio State on the money line is probably the way to attack this game. You look at them in like a parlay piece. Right now, minus 185. Parlay them with another game on the board in college, maybe a game in the NFL. Get yourself plus money. I think a two-team parlay with Ohio State is one of the legs, probably the way to go. I also like the first half under in this game, 23.5. I think this game, early start, the familiarity with both of these teams, and really Penn State, obviously not knowing who their quarterback is going to be. Maybe we see both quarterbacks. Even if Valor plays, he's not going to be 100% healthy. And if Pegula plays, they don't want him making the big mistake. Ohio State going to be going into this game with a lot of aggression, try and get up first. They know if they can get ahead on Penn State, then obviously the Nittany Lions trying to come from behind, that will not work in their favor. So I think both teams, kind of in these big games, you see it a little bit. Neither team wants to make the big mistake. Both teams are kind of playing chess with one another. I think a first half under is a good look. I also like Ohio State on the money line as well. As for Ole Miss and Arkansas, the Rebels, big game against Georgia coming up next week, but Ole Miss has to win out. If they want any chance of making the college football playoff, they have to win out. Ole Miss favored by 7 in Fayetteville this weekend. The total is 53.5. I like the under in this game at 53.5. One thing I've been noticing about Arkansas this season, first of all, their schedule is very difficult. I mean, they've had to play LSU already. They've had to play Tennessee. They've had to play Texas A&M. All of these games against top-tier SEC teams have all been low-scoring, right? The A&M game was 24-17. The Tennessee game, neither team got into the 20s. The LSU game was low-scoring as well. We think of Ole Miss, and we think of Lane Kiffin as like this high-flying offensive team that gets in these shootouts every single week. Just hasn't been the case for the last couple years. This is the best defense that he has had since he's been in Oxford. The game against Oklahoma last week was ugly and sloppy. A lot of the Ole Miss games have been this season. I'm expecting another under. Give me 53.5 under Arkansas and Ole Miss. We got Oregon traveling to the Big House to take on Michigan, the Ducks' number one team in the country. Coming into the season, I think a lot of people thought this could be a chance to be a huge game in the Big Ten. I don't really like a side in this game. For me, it would either be Oregon or nothing. My fear in this game is like what we saw with Michigan against Texas. Michigan's defense is going to be able to hold on for a little bit, but if they start playing from behind and if Oregon goes up early, Michigan just has no chance of coming back in this game. Now, we are getting a big spread with 14.5. Certainly, there's a chance that Michigan could backdoor cover. They just don't have a quarterback. It's going to struggle. They're going to struggle moving the ball in this game against a very good Oregon defense. I kind of see this game being a little bit similar to what Oregon and Illinois was last week. Illinois got a good defense. Their offense struggles against good teams, and that game ended up being 38-9. I could see Oregon winning this game like 31-10, somewhere in that neighborhood. So would lean Oregon minus 14.5. Don't think it's an official bet for me. Then we got number 13, Indiana, on the road to take on Michigan State. Hoosiers opened up as 6.5-point favorites, but as you would imagine, everybody's betting Indiana. They're up to 7.5 at some spots. The total is 50.5. Now, I'm not going to fade Indiana again. Indiana and BYU are on my no-bet list. I'm not fading either of those teams. Every year in college football, there are like one or two teams that we wait for the regression. We keep waiting to fade these teams, and you just constantly just lose on them because they just cover a bunch of spreads. So I'm not betting against Indiana. I just will say we were waiting for them to finally play some teams. We thought Nebraska and Washington would be good competition for Indiana. Both of those games were at home. Now we get the Hoosiers on the road. Keep in mind, against Northwestern, they were only up 3 points in the fourth quarter before scoring 2 touchdowns, one late in the game, to get them a cover in that one. Michigan State's been very good as an underdog this year. They're a very well-coached team. The thing is, Indiana just doesn't beat themselves. They always win the turnover battle. It seems like they always have a defensive touchdown every single game. I want to bet against Indiana when we get a team that's going to be as well-coached and disciplined as Indiana is. When they force turnovers against Indiana, I just worry about Michigan State making these big game-changing plays, these game-changing turnovers. So I'm staying away, but I'm interested to see how Indiana looks on the road against the capable Michigan State team. Then we got number 10, Texas A&M, on the road to take on South Carolina. A&M's favored by 2.5. The total is 44.5. Line moving in this game, too. A&M opened up as 3.5-point favorites. Now they're through the key number 3, and they're down to 2.5. Talked about it yesterday. This game, A&M and South Carolina, reminds me of Notre Dame and A&M at the beginning of the year. Notre Dame wins that huge game at Kyle Field. Heading into week 2 against Northern Illinois, everybody's patting them on the back. They're congratulating them. We all think it's a foregone conclusion. Notre Dame's in the playoff. You look at the rest of their schedule, cakewalk, they're going to be no issues. And then what do? They turn around and they lose to Northern Illinois. How about Bama after their big win against Georgia? We all saw what Bama looked like. We're thinking Melrose is going to win the Heisman. We're thinking Bama without Nick Saban is still going to continue to roll. What do? Come back the following week and lose to Vanderbilt. A&M better be careful. They're coming off a big win. South Carolina's coming off a bye. Columbia's a tough place to play at night. A&M had such an advantage in the game last week against LSU because they made the quarterback change to Marcel Reed in the second half, and it completely threw off LSU's game plan, going from a pocket passer to Wegman to a dual-threat guy in Reed. Well, Sellers, the quarterback for South Carolina, has the similar skill set to Reed, so the Gamecocks will be able to defend that. They obviously now have more film on him from that LSU game. I like South Carolina outright, but if you want to be safe, you can take them plus 2.5. And then finally, number 18, Pitt against number 20, SMU. Monster game in the ACC. Both of these teams are undefeated in conference play. I think SMU is the way better team. They just had a 3-game road trip. They won all 3 of those games. How many teams in college football could lose a turnover battle 6-0 on the road and still win? That's what SMU managed to do against Duke on Saturday. SMU's a solid team. Pitt's just one of these frauds that haven't played anybody yet. They finally get to play somebody in SMU. I would take the Mustangs minus 7.5. All right, let's continue talking college football now. Look at the futures market, national championship. For me, the number one team in college football is still going to be Ohio State at plus 450. I know they lost to Oregon. If those two teams played on a neutral field, I think Ohio State would beat them. Will Howard was obviously the big question mark coming into the season. I think all in all, he's been pretty good for the Buckeyes, and I think they can win a national championship with him. Ohio State's the best team. Obviously, they get a big test on Saturday against Penn State. I will put the Buckeyes at number 1. Georgia, for me, is still number 2, plus 325. We saw what they did against Texas. Until somebody beats Georgia, that is not Alabama, why do we keep doubting them? The only reason I have Ohio State ahead of Georgia is because when Ryan Day went up against Kirby Smart about 3 years ago in the college football playoff, they should have won that game. I think Ohio State is much more talented than Georgia this year, but Georgia still number 2. They are plus 325 to win it all. Texas is the number 3 team for me. They're plus 550. Yes, they lost to Georgia. Ton of talent, though. I'm not as big on Quinn Ewers as a lot of other people, but man, is there a lot to like about Texas this year. Offensive line stacked. Wide receiver room's great. Defensively, their front 7's excellent. Still haven't played against a really good passing offense yet. If they go up against somebody, an elite quarterback with elite receivers, that could be interesting to watch. Georgia was certainly their biggest test so far, and Carson Beck pretty much, other than the turnovers, sliced them up for the most part. That would be my one thing that concerns me with Texas, but I'll still put them at number 3. Oregon's going to be my number 4 team at plus 450. I like the Ducks a lot. Obviously had that big win over Ohio State. I want to see what the Ducks look like on a neutral field. It's one thing when you're playing these games at Austin Stadium, one of the best home field advantages in college football. What do they look like, though, against top-tier competition on a neutral field? I'll put the Ducks at number 4. Clear gap after those 4 teams. It's Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Oregon, and then there's a gap. Number 5, I'll put Penn State at 14-1. Penn State's best competition this year was USC, and they were fortunate to win that game. James Franklin's 1-9 against Ohio State. You beat Ohio State, you're going to move up on this list. Right now, I'll put them at number 5. Clemson's going to be the number 6 team for me. They're 16-1 to win the national title. I don't think they're going to win the national title, but credit to Dabo and Clemson. After week 1 against Georgia, we all thought it was going to be another down year for the Tigers. Very good defense, and Cade Klubnik is playing excellent at the quarterback position. Tennessee is going to be my number 7 team at 16-1. Volunteers this year have an excellent defense. Their defensive line is one of the best in college football. They also have a great running game. Nico has all the talent in the world. If he can get the most out of that and become a more accurate passer and better decision making, sky's the limit for the Vols at 16-1. Texas A&M, I'll put it number 8 at 22-1. I know the Irish beat A&M, but that was in week one, Mike Elko's first game. Since then, I think A&M has looked like the better team. And now with Marcel Reed looking like he's going to be their quarterback moving forward, I think he's the way better option than Connor Wegman. I'll put A&M at number 8. Notre Dame right behind him at number 9 with a great defense. Worried about their offense in some of these big games going up against top teams, but their defense is legit. And give me Alabama still at number 10. I put Bama over Miami. I'll put them over Indiana. I'll put them over these other teams. If all these other teams that I didn't name played against Bama on a neutral field, you're telling me you bet Indiana, you bet Miami, you bet some of these other teams against Alabama? I don't know if I would. Jalen Milroe's looked hurt to me ever since the game against South Carolina. I think a bye week this week is much needed. I expect Bama to look good against LSU, so I'll put Bama at number 10. All right, let's look at the NFL slate coming up for week 9 already in the NFL. Thursday night football, man, this spread is a weird one. We got the Jets at 2-point favorites against the Texans with the total of 42.5. The big question is who's going to catch the ball for Houston in this game. Obviously, Nico Collins is still out. Stephon Diggs looks like he's going to be out for the season as well. But man, do you really want to bet on the Jets again? It feels like after that loss to the Patriots, that was kind of their season. I would only bet the Jets in this game because the line stinks and they're favored and it makes no sense. I don't know if I have the stomach to do it, though. Probably just going to be a pass, a stay away for me. I do like the Commanders -3.5 against the Giants. The only case that you can make maybe against Washington in this game is that obviously they're a divisional road favorite, maybe an emotional hangover after that Hail Mary win. But the way that I look at this game is, A, the Giants are at home. Hate playing them at home. Talked about that many times on the show. But B, think about the first time these two teams matched up earlier on in the year. The Giants scored 3 touchdowns. Washington had 6 field goals, and the Giants still couldn't win that game. Now, if the Giants had a kicker, they probably do win that game, but it would have been close. The Giants dominated that game, still couldn't win. Washington's only 3.5. Feels like the Giants have gotten worse since then. Washington obviously continues to be on the rise. I'll take Washington -3.5. I like Dallas +2.5 against Atlanta. Generally, in football, when you get a home favorite that's 2.5, you take the underdog. And when you get a home favorite that's 3.5, you take the favorite. It feels like a lot of these games where the home favorite's been 2.5, where it just feels too easy, like Atlanta's just too easy to take them under the field goal. That's what a lot of us thought with Cincinnati last week against Philadelphia, and the Eagles blew them out. It kind of feels the same way this week with Dallas. So I would lean towards Dallas +2.5. Raiders and Bengals this week, Bengals -7.5. Feels like Cincinnati in a teaser leg's the way to go, -1.5. Bengals, obviously in a danger area. They're 3-5 this season, but man, they have 3 big games coming up against the Ravens, the Chargers, and the Steelers. They can get themselves back into the conversation. They've been a terrible team at home this season, losing 4 games already. I think they win. I wouldn't lay the 7.5 with them, but I like them in a teaser. Also got the Chargers, -2 at the Browns. I like LA in this game. Feels like Cleveland is now going to turn into what they were with Flacco at the end of last season, where everybody loves the Browns now. Everybody's falling in love with Jameis, the passing game. That was such a good matchup, though, for Jameis going up against that Ravens secondary that couldn't stop the parked car. Now they're going up against the Chargers and Jesse Minter, who's been great this year as defensive coordinator. I like this matchup for the Chargers, and they've been very good this year as favorites. The teams that they're supposed to beat, they have been beating those teams because of how well-coached they are. I'll take the Chargers -2. Titans are -3 at home against the Patriots. I am 0-6 betting on the Titans this year against the spread. I feel like I bet them every week, and every week I lose money. I am not betting the Titans anymore, which means you probably should, because they will win by 30 this week against the Patriots. Saints -7 at the Panthers. What a gross game. Spencer Rattler as a 7, or Jake Haner, whoever it is, as a 7-point favorite on the road against Carolina. Just tells you what a mess the Panthers are. I'm staying away from that game. And then Ravens and Broncos. We talked about this game at length yesterday. Telling you guys, the Ravens stink. When 3 things align, when they play at 1 p.m. Eastern time, when they're a favorite of 4 points or more, and they go up against an AFC team, 5 of their last 6 regular season losses with Lamar Jackson have been when those things have happened. They are not good in these early window games when they're big favorites. I expect Denver to keep that close. I'll take the Broncos plus the 9. All right, a promo from our friends here at BetMGM. We've all had our first touchdown bet vultured or called back before. BetMGM's Pro Football Second Chance. We're giving you a second chance on first touchdown bets this season. You can place any first touchdown score wager. And if your player doesn't score first but scores second, get your entire stake back in cash. No opt-in required. Had Malik Nabers plus 950 yesterday to score the first touchdown. Didn't work out for us, but that's why you use this great promo, because what you do is you place a pregame wager, and if the first touchdown score hits, you hit your bet in any NFL game. If your player scores the first touchdown, you win your wager. If your player scores the second touchdown, you get your stake back in cash. Only straight bets apply to second chance. Any wager using a bonus bet or other reward token is ineligible for the campaign. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Lucy Burge. And I can't remember who told me, but there was somebody who said that this World Series might be a sweep. She said the Dodgers might potentially have a chance to sweep the Yankees. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Lucy, what are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Hello, PJ. I wonder who that was. Five-star play for today is Chargers minus 2 against the Browns this week. The Browns are 1-3 against the spread at home, and the Chargers have covered the spread in 2 of their last 3 games, and they are 2-2 against the spread on the road, which isn't too bad. So the BetQL model loves Chargers minus 2 against the Browns for this week as a five-star play today.
Very nice. Me and the model are aligned there with L.A. Speaking of L.A., Lucy, the Dodgers are up 3-0 in this series. Freddie Freeman can't stop hitting home runs. Aaron Judge can't stop striking out. It just couldn't go any worse for the Yankees right now. You said that the Dodgers would sweep. Do you still feel that way heading into tonight?
Yes, imagine, PJ, if I said, yes, the Dodgers will sweep, and then today I was like, you know what, actually, Yankees in 7. No, yeah. I still believe it. However, I'm going to temper my excitement and my anticipation for it until it actually happens, because I start thinking, oh, I'll jinx it if I start saying, oh, this is a great day this morning. I wake up, my brother texts our family chat, happy elimination day to the Yankees. Who knows? I mean, the Yankees could win one more game. They could win 2 games. They come back. I'm going to not jinx anything, and I'm going to say just I did predict it, and I'm sticking with that prediction, but who knows. I am very excited though, PJ. I have a little pep in my step today, a little bit of butterflies today. Be like, ooh, this could actually happen. All the people, and this is, I didn't want to say this until it actually happens, but I will say it, all the people that said you're crazy for predicting a sweep, we are at the point where it's not out of the question, and it wasn't crazy to predict whether or not they do it or whatever happens, it's still not crazy. It's still within the realm of possibility. It's not like they weren't even close. So all the people out there, I get your apologies written to send to me tomorrow if, you know, they do sweep. Just a warning.
The apologies better be as loud as the hate was, right, Lucy?
Oh, yeah,
I love
PJ.
That. What about the props tonight, Lucy? What do we like for the props tonight? Are we betting Freddie Freeman? Is he going yard again tonight?
PJ, this is why we are best friends. That was my very first bet for today. Freddie Freeman over 1.5 total bases. I've been taking Freddie Freeman props all throughout, not home runs, which I should have been doing, but I don't want to jinx it, because as soon as I take him to hit a home run, he's not going to do it. Freddie Freeman over 1.5 total bases. This has been working out very well so far. He has hit this in every game so far of the World Series. He is now only the third player in World Series history to homer in each of the first 3 games of the World Series. And Luis Gil has allowed 9 hits over his last 2 outings. So Freddie Freeman over on bases, and then Teoscar Hernandez over 1.5 hits, runs, RBI as well. He hit this in game 1 of the World Series, and he did have 1 hit yesterday, but against Luis Gil, he's batting .400 with a home run and a double off of him. And then going back to Mookie Betts, just a classic, Mookie Betts over 1.5 bases as well. He hit this in game 2 of the World Series, and he's 2 hits against Luis Gil. He is batting .333 with actually a double against him. So he has 2 hits in the World Series. So I think this could be a big night for Mookie Betts as well. A lot on the line here in terms of a sweep, a lot on the line for the Yankees, but for the Dodgers as well, because they will want to sweep. And I think Mookie Betts will be an impactful part of this. So Mookie Betts over 1.5 bases as well.
I love it. Lucy, is it going to bring you more joy to see Shohei win the World Series or see the Yankees lose in about 10 seconds?
Yankees lose, no question. This is an anti-Yankees. I don't care who wins the World Series as long as it's not the Yankees.
Totally fair. Lucy Burge, Bet Slips and Bat Flips coming up 2 p.m. Eastern Time with Lucy and Jake. Make sure you catch it. Might be the final night of the baseball season. Lucy, always great catching up with you. And let's go Dodgers.
Thank you, PJ. Go Dodgers. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time for PJ's plays here in about 30 seconds as we wrap up the show. Our prop lock yesterday was Aaron Judge plus 160, not to get a hit. That was easy. Well, guess what? They're giving us the same bet again tonight. We'll just go right back to the well. Has Judge shown you anything that he has any confidence he's getting a hit tonight? Aaron Judge, no hit at plus 160. Give me the Dallas Mavericks tonight. +4.5 is my dog of the day against Minnesota. Obviously, a revenge game from the playoff series last year. Think a bunch of people are going to like Minnesota tonight. I'm not one of them. Give me Dallas plus the points. And then my best bet, give me the over 8.5 in Dodgers and Yankees. The Dodgers are going with the bullpen game tonight. We've seen them go with 3 bullpen games this postseason. The total amount of runs scored in those games, 15, 10, and 8. Over 8.5 Dodgers and Yankees. Thanks again to Daniel Gallen, Lucy Burge for joining us on Send It In. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. See you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.